Well, it's a good to be back in God's house. If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm going to be starting at verse 7. I'm going to go ahead and read verses 7 through 14. And if you would, when you get there, please stand if you're able to, as I read from God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 5. And then verses 7 through 14. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Father, we're so thankful for the reading of your word. And God, today, as I speak this word, Lord, I pray everything will come straight from your Holy Spirit. And Lord, let us look at these words intently this morning, taking them into our hearts, and that we will concentrate on your word, Father, so that we can grow in you. Father, strengthen us today in the areas of our life where we need to be strengthened. And Father, if there's something that you are calling us to do, then Lord, let us take a step of faith today and do what it is that you are requiring of us, and let us do it boldly. And God, we thank you and praise you now. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, the last point I got across last week that I'll just briefly touch upon on humility was embracing being a humble person. And I jotted down a couple things this morning that I thought would really be interesting to kind of throw in there. To be humble is to not be proud or haughty, to not have any type of arrogance. Humility is a grace that attracts more grace, and pride will cause you to stop growing spiritually. Now, I'm going to stop there just a second. You know, God calls us to be humble. And why? Because we know that when Jesus came to this earth, he left as a king, and he came to be a humble servant. We know that throughout the New Testament readings up until the crucifixion that Jesus served. He washed his own disciples' feet. There were people who came to him who wanted to do things, but Jesus says, "No, I came to serve you." And God wants us to step out of our comfort zones, and God wants us to humble. You know, we're supposed to humble ourselves every single day in the presence of God Almighty, and we should also humble ourselves in the presence of other people. Now, I noticed something last night in the shopping mall. We were down at Paducah Mall, and there's something I noticed about people. How many of you ever watch people when you're out shopping? Does anybody ever study people? Yeah, I do. I'll just confess. Yeah, I get bored. Janine goes into some of them ladies' stores, and I don't like to go in the ladies' stores or the home goods stores or whatever. So I sit out there and I watch people and I study them. And I just try to figure, what are they thinking? Or what kind of a person are they? And I always try to find something good, even if I don't see something. But last night I noticed there was these people walking around, and I mean the clothing they had on, I don't know how much it cost, But I'm telling you, it was some high dollar duds. And they walked around and their noses was about this far up in the air. And I thought if it come down a rain shower, they'd drown with that nose stuck up so far in the air. And you know, and I even noticed as we walk through the mall, we go into stores, some people you'd say hi to or just nod and smile, and they just kind of turn away. And I thought, that's just sad. Really is. And that's what you see in the world today. Even, and I'm going to say this, and I got my hard-toe boots on. No, I don't have my, I need my toes stepped on sometimes. But even in churches, we see people who do not humble themselves. They come into church with an attitude. Do you know that a lot of people will show up at church thinking that God owes them something because they got their wonderful self up that morning and graced the doorway? There are a lot of people that are like that. And it is so sad to see, because the one thing the devil wants to do, he wants to distort your way of thinking. He wants you to think that you are entitled, that everybody, and there are people who go around thinking that they should be recognized, that they should be given an award, or that they should at least have their name mentioned or an applaud given. You know, now when I was little, I used to do things and I used to go, well, isn't someone going to say good job? It's just, I was a young guy. Now, the Bible says don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. And basically what that means, whatever you're doing, don't go making it public. Don't let everybody else know what you're doing. What you do, do it humbly. So if you give money to somebody, give it and let it be done, but don't go broadcast it to the countryside, because the world owes us nothing. And people, we don't deserve an award. What we are to do in our life as a humble Christian is we are to love. We are to bring ourselves to the place of a servant, and we are supposed to find people that are in need. Now, now this is just an example, and I'm not tooting a horn or blowing a whistle, but just an example. Janine was very sick, and there's a young lady that in the church that they've been taking care of, and she was really sick. She had no transportation, nothing like that, and she asked me, well, would you, and it was snowing, you know, it had snowed, and it was all nasty out. And Janine says, well, would you take some money that I've got here and would you go to the store, because I've gotten a hold of this girl, and would you get her some things and take them to her? And I thought, really? Are you? I got to get out in that weather, you know, and it's wet and nasty. And boy, did God get a hold of me pretty quick. And the Lord said, and just who are you? And then I started thinking about that what you do to your, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, as it says in the Bible, love your neighbor as yourself. So I took that money from Janine. I ate me a big piece of humble pie as I went out the door. And do you know, when I went, I had to go to a couple stores and pick up some things. And that girl, that, like I said, that young girl was sick. So I got to her place, knocked on the door, set the bags down, and I took, you know, quite a few steps away because she had COVID or something like that. And when she went to the door, I just explained to her what I'd gotten. And I said, I hope that you are blessed. And I want you to know that when I left there, I got home and I told my wife, I'm sorry. Because see, we all have a human side to us. And that human, that flesh gets in the way. And or we may be going through a bad time or not feeling well, or maybe something, somebody else's plans got in the way of what we had planned, and we don't like that, and we kind of retaliate just a little bit. We act out of sorts, and if you'd allow me to say. But then God gets a hold of us and needs to bring us back to a remembrance that Jesus was the humble sacrifice. He was our humble example. And if we get in the Word and start reading more and more and let that take a part of and be it, let it be our character, we will find out that the more we do for people, the more joy it brings. Really, it truly does. And I started thinking about, and then just the other day, I happened to ask Janine, how's Annie? How's she doing? Just because she was on my mind. And she said, well, you know, I haven't really heard from her for a few days, but I really don't know. And then we just took a moment to pray for her. And when we got done praying, we just felt good inside of our heart because we were able to help somebody else. Now, on the other side of humble, there's grace. And grace is the spontaneous, unmerited gift of the divine favor in the salvation of sinners and the divine influence operating in individuals for their regeneration and sanctification. See, God gives grace to the humble. God does give grace to the humble. And what I read down here, if we let pride ever get in the way of our life, we're going to stop growing. If we let, now pride's one of the seven deadly sins, and it's something to get away from. And I believe that each and every single human being has, to some point has dealt with pride in their life. Maybe we don't want to apologize to somebody, or maybe we don't want to say we were wrong. But boy, what it can do when we allow grace, when we allow God's grace. Because when I think of my sin and when I think of my life and who I am, sometimes I don't feel like I'm worthy of God's grace. But you know what? God's grace is even more than I can even imagine. Oh, I could sit around all day and try to think what God's grace is really like. But I'm the creation and He's the Creator. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And so in that case, I know that His grace covers me. And if I will remain a humble person, if I will pray and serve, I'm going to continue to grow in my walk with the Lord, and I'm going to find it easier to even approach the unlovable. Now, last night I was going into the bathroom at what store? We went into the Dillard store, and Janine pointed where the restrooms was at. And as I was going back to the restrooms, there's these two young boys come out, and you know how young kids are when they're cool. You know, they got this look on their face, and they're macho looking. And boy, they just come strutting across there. And I went walking by them, and I just smiled at them and just kept on walking. And I thought, you know, whatever that smile might do, they might have thought I was some ignorant old guy, but that smile would go a long way. I told you the story a while back about that lady who would pass the guy every day, and she'd say, said hi to him one morning, and later on, he came up to her and told her that because of the fact that she would say hi to him or show a kind gesture, it caused him to go to a church and to know about Christ, and he got saved because he told her that very first day that he saw her and she smiled and waved at him, he was going to go take his life because he didn't think life was worth living anymore. So the smallest things sometimes that we might do for somebody will have the greatest impact. I hope and pray that even in my life that I can continue to do the things that God calls me to do. And, you know, there's sometimes I still try to rear up against the Lord, and the Lord has to bring me back down, you know, sometimes to make me look up. But in my life, I want to embrace being humble. Now, taking our burdens to the Lord in verse 7, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. No matter what you're going through in life, no matter what it is, God's Word tells us to cast all of our cares upon Him, for He cares for you. See, God is big enough and great enough, there ain't nothing going to make Him have a nervous breakdown. If God created all the heavens and the earth, and He created all living things in 6 days, then don't you think he can handle everybody's problems that they bring to him? Have you ever been at a time where you saw someone and you ask them, how are you doing today? And you wish you hadn't breathed those words, because then they're telling you everything going on in their life. And then you're sitting there going, oh my word, why did I ever ask that? God never does that with us. You know, I've talked to so many Christian people who say, well, I really don't bother God because he's already heard enough from me. And I'm going, what? That's silly. God wants to hear from us. One thing God created us for was to have fellowship. And what do you do in fellowship? Well, you don't sit and stare at one another. You know, when we have church fellowships, we get together, we have food, we have good drinks and desserts, and we talk to one another, and we laugh and smile and have a good time. And when you go home, what do? You talk on the way home, or you go call home somebody or call someone and tell them what a great time you had. See, and in the same way, God wants us to have fellowship with him, and he always wants to hear from us. Now, God doesn't want to hear you just whining and complaining constantly, but when you are truly burdened and down, no matter what it is, bring it to God and ask God faithfully. You approach his throne boldly and humbly, and you go in faith, because when you start laying things out before the Lord, he already knows that they're there, but he's wanting you to speak it out to him. And when you start speaking these things out, then these requests go before the throne of God, and he hears each one. Now, I'm always amazed how God... Now, I want to ask you something. Now, Laura, if you were sitting in a room and you had 10 people talking to you, do you think you could decipher everything you was hearing from 10 people? I know I couldn't. I'd be sitting there going, please stop. One person at a time. Now, with God, it's different. You could have 100 million people praying all at one time, and God is so great and so mighty, he is able to hear and decipher each prayer. He knows the hearts of his children, and he hears those prayers, and he answers those prayers. So see, instead of carrying your burdens, instead of carrying the weight around in your life, give it to the Lord. I did this skit one time where I took a chair. It was like kind of like one of these chairs like Milton's sitting in. And I put it over my back. And then I asked some of the men in the church, I said, I got some items here. I want you to start putting those things into the chair. And they were heavy. And I'm holding on to that chair. You know what happened? After a while, I was hunched over like that. And I was looking down at the ground. And it was killing my back. And my arms were hurting because I was trying to hold all the weight of that by myself. And then about the time that chair and all was starting to fall off, well, them guys come run over and grab the chair, and they helped me set it down. They came and helped me in a time of a burden. They came and were a help to me so that I didn't fall or drop that chair. And in the same way, if we get ourselves so loaded down with the cares and the troubles of this world and we never bring it before God, you know what it's going to do? It's going to cause us to be anxious. It's going to cause us to fear. It's going to cause us to stumble. And then we're going to try and do everything in life our own self. We're going to rely on our own power, and when we do, now if those guys had never come around, I would have fallen flat on my face with that chair and all the stuff that was in it, and I could have got hurt. God wants us to always come before his throne anytime, day or night, and God wants to hear from us. He loves you more than you'll ever know. Now, I told you about how much my grandma loved me. And I knew that I could go to her at any time and she would always be there for me. Sometimes I used to whip up a few tears when I was little just to get a compassionate hug. And my dad would be going, oh my goodness, I can't believe this kid. But that's just what I love that And I love that time with God. Because, you know, when I get done casting my cares before the Lord, I feel so much better. I am stronger. I'm ready to go fight the enemy because God is on my side and He is walking with me. And I know that I will not fail in any way, shape, or form. Now, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You have to be alert to your adversary. You got to be alert. And you've got to be totally aware of what's going on. The devil will use anything that he can find, especially if he knows it's your weakness. And that may be spending too much time watching television, too much time being on the computer or on the phone, or maybe gossip, or maybe, you know, who knows? But the devil knows the weak areas of our life. If he knows that you like to do other certain things and he can drag you away from your prayer time, then he'll bring things of interest to you that you like, and you're going, ooh, wow. Just like I told you about the guy who got the new car. He says, well, I don't think I'll go to church today. I think I'm going to stay home and I'll go to church next Sunday. I'm going to stay home and wash and wax and clean up the inside, keep this car looking nice. Well, then the next Sunday rolled around. He went to Sunday school, but then he turned around and got back in that car and decided to go for a drive in the country. And then he went home and he washed it again. And he waxed it and he cleaned it all up. He's, oh, well, next Sunday I'll go back to church. I'll make sure that I sit on the front row this time. Well, this just kept happening. Every week he'd spend more and more time with that car. And before long, he wasn't in church at all. And people didn't see him. And you know what he was doing? He was out spending time with that earthly made vehicle. And he was not spending any time with God, and he got out of fellowship. So the devil will find so many different ways to drag us out of God's fellowship. Now there was one thing, when I was pastoring full-time, there was one, and I'm just going to be honest. I really am going to be honest. I could not stand business meeting. I tried to find every way possible, and I was the moderator as the pastor of the business meeting. But I tried to find every way possible to get out of going. And I would just come to the Lord and gripe and complain about it. And the devil made this thing a thorn in my side. And finally the Lord said to me, this ain't your fight. It's mine. So we got to tune out the devil. We've got to turn a deaf ear to him. And we've got to put the devil in his place. If we will be sober and be vigilant. When we're sober, being sober-minded means we've spent time in God's Word. We have fellowship with the Father. And if we'll start our day off in the Word, your day's going to go a lot better. But if you start off your day with confusion and anger and resentment and all these negative thoughts, guess what your day's going to be like? Your day is going to be set up to have one kind of a hazard after another. But it's only until you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I put everything else before you. And you can get right into the Word. You can get yourself fed and strengthened and lifted up. And you're able to go out and face the day. So many times, there are days I wish I could just stay home and not have to deal with this or that. But then I know that God is calling me to go do something. And if I didn't leave the house that day, then what would I be missing out on to bless someone else? Really? Be steadfast in the faith. Verse 9. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Every single man and woman, male or female, you are a Christian. The Bible says it right there. You are experiencing the same sufferings. Have you ever been going through a trial and you look at somebody else and they're smiling and laughing and you think, boy, I wish I was them right now. Look at them smiling. They're probably just having the grandest, they've probably got this great thing going on and they're blessed here. But you never know what someone else is going through until you put their shoes on. We did a thing at church one time. We had everybody take their shoes off. Hopefully their feet was clean. But and what we did, we had each person take off one shoe and we had them to write down something they were going through, but they didn't have to put their name on it. And drop it in that shoe, and then the shoes got passed around, and then you had to stop till you didn't have your shoe, and then you reached in and grabbed that piece of paper, and then you read it. And boy, oh boy, I'd been going through some stuff as a young person, and I pulled out this piece of paper. Now, I can't really remember what it said, but all I know is there was quite a few things wrote on it. And I thought, wow, this person's really going through some pretty tough things. And do you know, I've gone up to people and said, wow, you must be having a really good day. You're just smiling. And I've had people say, no, I've lost a loved one just in the last few days, or I lost my job, or I got a report from the doctor. But they say, I know that God is with me, and I know that God is strengthening me, and I know that God's got this, so I'm going to smile. I'm not going to let this situation get me down. So see, if we have an unshakable faith in God, and we have got to draw on Him, we've got to draw that strength from Him, or we cannot make it. I heard when Sheridan said she was powerlifting, makes me think, when these people work out, well, what happens if they go to work out and they're not filled with the proper nutrition first, but then they try to work out? What's going to happen? They're going to fall flat on their face. They're going to be weak and tired. They could get injured. But these people who work out, man, they eat the right foods. They exercise. They make sure that they're getting the proper amount of sleep. And they're working out. Boy, I've seen some of these guys and girls walk around. Man, they got them muscles on them. Look like they could lift up the back end of a Greyhound bus. And they're strong, too. You know, I got a nephew who's into football. And he's 6'2". He's a big boy. Offensive and a defensive tackle. I used to get him down when he was little and I'd tickle him. Well, I jumped on his back one day and said, I'm going to get you down, boy. And it didn't take him long. He had me down on the ground. Had me begging for mercy, and I thought, whoo. So see, he had a strength, and these bodybuilders have a strength. And where do they get it from? They get it from what they're doing, from their training. And see, we get from the Lord, we get our strength from the Word. If we read the Word of God, and if we meditate on it daily, and make it a part of our lives, and if we pray and serve and do for others, and if we are obedient to God's commandments, we will be strong. We will be steadfast in faith, and nothing will shake us. Now, you know, that I would love, there's one thing in my mind that I would love more than anything, and I've always I thought, well, now I'm a lot older, it couldn't possibly happen, but you know what? God can do anything. But there's one job I've always wanted so bad, and I thought, well, if it's the Lord's will, He can do it. And I thought, so I'll pray about it, and I do. I pray about it, and I seek it. Lord, if it be Thy will, then let this thing come to me. I'm not going to let anybody else's words or thoughts shake that. You know, when I was growing up, people used to say, oh, you can't do that. You're not good enough. Well, I'm going to prove you wrong. When I was on the eighth grade track team, there was boys come around and said, ah, you're not a runner. You make our team lose. You might as well not even try out. Well, I went to track tryouts after school, and you know what was going through my mind the entire time I was out there? I ain't good enough. I can't run fast. Because that's what those boys said. Well, what happens if I lost a track meet, made the whole team lose? What? And then all of a sudden, I didn't want to be there. And then I started thinking about what my grandparents used to tell me a lot. You don't let anybody tell you you can't do something. And you don't listen to their negative words. So I got up there for track practice, and we had to run. And we had to run laps, quite a few laps around that track. And when I got done, the coach, he pulled me aside, and he said, Jim, you're going to be a good runner. There are some things we need to work on, but you're going to be a good runner. He said, if you'll stick with us, and if you'll train and do the right thing, you're going to be a good runner. Well, the Lord blessed me, and the Lord made me a good runner. And so through all that, I remained steadfast that if I trained and did all the right things, I'd be a good runner. But I had to keep it up. And in the same way, we have to keep this up every day. We can't just read and pray one day and think we're good for the rest of the week. You're going to get weak and fall if you do. But when we stay in this Word constantly, and when we let it become a part of us, we start to change, and we will become unshakable. And then lastly, we have to stand firm in God's grace and remember that grace is the unmerited gift of the divine favor in the salvation of sinners. It's a divine gift from God, His grace. Grace, grace. His grace. Grace that is greater than all of my sin. I think that's how that hymn goes. Yeah. It's been such a long time since I've sang it. But I thank God every day for that grace. The grace that was shown to me when a mighty king became a servant. When somebody who was immortal became mortal. So that I wouldn't have to go to hell. So that I could accept the gift of salvation. So that I could have my life turned completely around. And boy, am I ever glad I'm a Christian. I love people. I do. And people's well-being, it's important to me. Now, I can't change everything for everybody. But you know what I'll do? I'll pray for you. And I'll love on you. And if you need somebody to talk to, I'm here for you. All you got to do is reach out and call, get a hold of me or text, whatever. But I'm here. I'll do what I can, but I'll help you fight because I care about you. I love you. That's who I am. Now, there may be times I get busy or get other things in the way, and I have to say, Lord, I'm sorry, but help me to do better. Help me to do better. So God does care for you. I want you to know that today. And He cares for you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross. So if there's someone here today who doesn't know Him as Savior and Lord, I want to open up that invitation to you this morning that you would come and know Christ. Because you know what? When you die, you stand before the Lord. If you don't know Him, it's too late. You have made a choice to put yourself in hell. Nobody else. You did. Jesus made the way, but you got to accept it.